Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 33. So if you have your Bible, head to the front of your Bible. It's the second book there, and it'll kind of be a good way back in the second book of your Bible, Exodus. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to know we'll always have one available for you at the Next Steps area. We'll also throw it on the screen. If you're watching online, we'll throw it at my feet. A great resource is always the Home Church app. Every week, we put all of the scripture and all the sermon notes right there for you just to follow right along with. Exodus chapter 33. I hear you flipping. I give you time. I love it. Exodus chapter 33, starting in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you." So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Continuing on, verse 7. And now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out of the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know by your name,' and you have found favor with me. But if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on earth?" Excuse me, all other people on the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this moment to lean in and to consider your presence, to rest in your presence, to rely, to abide in your presence. So Father, I pray that you've been preparing the hearts of men and women to receive the word of truth. I pray that you have created in this room an atmosphere ready for your presence to dwell. Father, I pray that we would have open spiritual eyes and open spiritual ears and open spiritual hearts today to receive this word and to apply it into our life. Father, meet with us now. Speak to us now. Teach us now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. So to give you a context of what's happening in this moment, the nation of Israel has been freed from Egypt, and yet they've been wandering. Although they have promised land, they've been wandering in the wilderness, and they're starting to get, well, hard-headed, disobedient. And God now finally starts to give them permission, the ability to leave and head off to go toward the promised land. See, they had been wandering, waiting on his word to allow that freedom to go. And here he is, he's giving it, and part of it is out of frustration with his people. He called them stiff-necked, like hard-headed, a little bit like my children. And ultimately, he tells Moses, I want you to send them and take them. You guys can go to the land of milk and honey, but I got news for you. I ain't going with you, because if I did, I might kill you. Now, I'm probably not the only parent in the room who has felt that way at times. But there's this idea here that I want you to see about how God says, hey, I've got these things for you and you can go, but my presence isn't going. And I think, honestly, some of us can really connect to this. And I love Moses' response. And this is where we're going to just lean in today. I promise, only for the next 2.5 hours, I'll be with you. No big deal. That's short today. Moses says, God, if you don't go, I ain't going. And I love that. So this idea God laid on my heart over for today, for all of us. And by the way, can I just go ahead and tell you, man, if you get your toes stepped on today, good, me too. Man, this is a message I've been preaching to myself all week, and it's been messing me up. And so if you get messed up today, join the crowd. But that's the Holy Spirit of God wanting to teach us something. You know, we get so busy. This season is that, right? I mean, it's so busy of all these things that we're chasing after. And I know all that all too well. But we do this. We are so interested in the blessing of God. We're so interested in the promised land and this milk and honey and all these different things that we are interested in those things above and beyond God's presence going with us. I'm so glad that Moses had the foresight to say, no, like, God, listen, if you're not going, I'm not going. But the problem is, for many of us, we find ourselves in a similar place and we don't have that posture. Here's what this looks like in some of our lives. I think about this for students, right? If you're a student in the room, how many times have you been heading into a big test and you hadn't spent any time in prayer lately? You haven't been seeking God. You haven't been in his presence. And you're sitting in the car about to head in to take the ACT or the SAT or whatever final exam. And you're like, God, I know I hadn't talked to you in a while, but Lord, if you just be with me as I take this test, and I'll give you all the glory. Like, really? You will? Homie, you hadn't talked to him in months. But see, we do this, right? We need him. We get to a place where we need his presence to go with us. It looks a little different for other people. God, I know I haven't been praying about this, but she's beautiful. And I think I love her. And she's smart and she's beautiful. And we get along really well. And God, she's beautiful. I know we just met last week on Bumble, and I know we've already slept together a few times, but God, I think I'm gonna marry her. God, will you bless this relationship? All right. Sure. Maybe it's not relational for you. Maybe it's job. You're heading in for the meeting for the promotion. And on the elevator ride up, God, I know I haven't prayed. I know I haven't worshiped. God, I can't even remember the last time I've been in church. But God, if you'll just give me this promotion, I'll be able to get that house and the car. We'll be able to vacation more. God, we'll have time to go to church once a month now. Like, God, will you just help give me this promotion? Oh, did y'all feel that? That one hit home. There's this concept, especially for us. Listen, this has been true of people for a long time. But I think it's really prevalent, especially right now in our culture, especially in the American church, where we're so willing to go after the things that we desire and that we want, and then we get there and then we ask God to show up, as opposed to being willing to ask him where he wants us to go in his time, in his way, in his will. And so because of that, we always end up on the other side of God's blessing and his provision and his protection, because we've gone to places where his presence did not show up first. We've gone to places where his presence, oh, by the way, isn't gonna show up. And then we get upset when we don't sense him. And where are you? I don't know. This idea that Moses is talking about, I think, is important. I mean, one of the heartbeats of what I think God's stirring up in me as your pastor is this idea that I think so many of us, and listen, again, this is me too. We get so caught up in all the things, we miss God. And oftentimes we don't even look for him in it. When you think about presence, when I say presence, I want you to think about like a gift, right? Bow, wrapping, all that stuff, right? God's people had been promised a gift. They had been promised promised land. They had been promised inheritance. They had been promised a present. And this land was full of milk and honey and favor and protection. See, he said that he had all this blessing for them and he promised it to them, except they wanted it in their own time and in their own way, and they were being disobedient. They weren't willing to do what he asked. So he was willing to give them the blessing without his presence. And as I had that revelation this week, I was crushed by that. How many of us have actually sat in and enjoyed the blessing of God without his presence being around it? We love presents, right? This time of year, it's gift-giving season. I spent my whole Friday out there blowing money, chasing after all the presents and, fighting over parking spots and getting honked at and fingers and all that kind of stuff over presents. And we blow all this money. We're buying presents for people I don't even know. I swear. We were writing, who is this? Who? I'm telling Katie, that's our cousin so-and-so. Like, don't even know him, right? Our culture, and again, especially in the American church, this is something that we chase after. Can I just say it this way? We look at God a lot of times as a genie in a bottle. And so when I need God's presence or I want something, I want a present, I go and rub the bottle, poof, he pops up. Oh God, I'm glad you're here. I've been waiting on you to show up so I can tell you all the things I want. And yet, the thing that he desires, because we're often willing to tell him what we desire, right? We're willing to go to him and rub the bottle and say, God, I need this. I want this. Will you do this for me? Will you provide this? Will you protect me in this? We got all these requests from him. Nothing wrong with that at its core, except the problem is the thing that he desires the most is the thing that we look at the least. The thing your God desires the most from you is your presence with him. He just wants you. He wants to be in relationship to you. He wants you close. He calls you to abide in him, to rest in him, to sit with him, to dine with him, to commune with him. That's what he desires from you. And yet, we're just asking him for stuff. And so this idea that the Israelite people, they were promised this land, this incredible blessing, and they were about to take off to go inhabit it, and God wasn't going with them. But there's another type of presence. So not present like the gift, but presence as in the way of like God's actual being around us. And this is what Moses had the ability to see. Moses was the leader. He was the one who got a chance to spend time with God. He went to the tent of meeting. He had face-to-face communication with God, which is incredible. And he had this understanding of what it's like to be in God's presence. And he says to him, no. Please, don't send us there if you're not going with us. God's like, well, you guys are being disobedient. And if I go with you, I might kill you. Okay, maybe you shouldn't go with us then, God. I'm kidding. There's this heaviness to it. But could I just say this? What's missing in most of our lives is that. What's missing in most of our lives is we are hungry for so many other things, and yet we are lacking a real hunger to be in God's presence. How do I know? Well, primarily a few ways. I talk to people all the time, and I ask them questions. And if you've talked to me, don't worry, we're not gonna share your name or things like that. But I have lots of conversations, and people are telling me about things going on in their life. I'm like, awesome. Hey, tell me about, like, what's the last thing God said to you? Oh, I don't really know. Okay, cool. Let's take a step back. When's the last time you sought God and you prayed? Well, Pastor, you know, it's just, I'm busy and... Awesome. Hey, when's the last time you opened God's word? Well, you know, man, I listen to that Christian radio on my ride into work, and they have a verse of the day, and okay. And here's where this hit me. I know where I'm going for lunch and dinner today. Like, I know how to feed my gut. But I wonder, for many of us, how often are we so chasing after and hungry to fill our soul? I love Moses. He's defiant with the Lord here. I love that. Our God's a big God. He can take your pushback. He can take your questions. And I love what Moses said to him. He was like, God, listen, please, if you're not going, don't send us. I don't want to go. And I love that, because there's a hunger that Moses has. You know why? Because Moses has been in God's presence. He's been around him. He's seen him. And he knows not only what it's like to be in God's presence, he knows what it's like to be separated from God's presence as well. And he knows that when we go to the land of milk and honey, it might be an incredible blessing and inheritance, but without you there, it ain't nothing. And that's the posture many of us need to grab onto today. And if you're anything like me, listen, you didn't do this willfully. Now, there might be a few of you who are in the room who you have hard hearts, or you're totally away from God, and like, what I'm saying to you is like, okay, whatever, I don't care. But I think many people under the sound of my voice, if you're having this conviction of like, holy, he's talking about me. You think I'm like staring at you the whole time, but I've been scanning the whole room, I haven't. That's the Holy Spirit of God, like drawing conviction into your life. Here's more likely than not what's happened is that it's been a slow drift. For mamas, you had a baby, and you got no sleep. And then all of a sudden it's time to go back to work and life's crazy and it just drifts. Guys, you're just out there, you're grinding, you're early, up early, you're in late, you're just trying to like make it for your family and it just slips away. Students, class and friends and you know all the study, all the things that are going on, the extra job and the Chick-fil-A and all those things, and all of a sudden it just drifts. The thing is that I believe for most of us, it's not an intentional step away from God. It's a very unintentional drift away from him, which is very dangerous. Because by the time we open our eyes and then the Holy Spirit of God convicts us in a moment like this, we all of a sudden have a chasm between us and we don't know how to get back. Oftentimes we want God to show up and to work a miracle. I get it. There have been times in my life where I needed God to show up and work a miracle. But I just wonder how often we've actually been on our knees when times were good, and we've been thanking him not only for what he's done, but who he is. See, this posture of praise and this posture of an open heart, this posture of abiding, isn't just in the mountaintops or in the valleys. It's in the everyday. It's in the consistency of walking with God, with abiding, staying in his presence. That means praying when you don't feel like it. That means reading his word when you can't keep your eyes open. It means praising when you want to curse. See, it's a discipline that God calls us to, just to sit. If you've ever met my three little boys, asking them to sit and do nothing is the most improbable ask you can make of them. They're too busy. They just, you know, got to run here and go do this and Sonic this and all, you know, all the, it's always something. Many of us never grow up from that. We're just so busy. We ain't got time for God. Sitting at his feet is a discipline to sit and wait on him, listen for him. And even if he says nothing, to just abide. I've said it before, but we want God to grant all of our desires. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. Your God, his greatest desire is to be with you. That's what he wants. Think about that. He wants to be with you. God's presence shows up all over Scripture. These aren't going to be on the screen. I just want to just share these with you really quickly. Psalm 16, verse 11. You can write these down. They're also in the app. Says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In your presence. Psalm 23 and verse 4, one of my favorites. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Psalm 63 and verse 1, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for your presence. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory." Psalm 73, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will receive me to glory." Meaning, you'll be with him forever. Psalm 145, "The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth." And finally, Psalm 139, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." David writes, God, you're here. You're around. You're present. You're available. God's presence is available for you. So really quickly, God's presence to his people in the wilderness showed up in two forms, the form of a cloud, a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire. And that's how they knew that God's tangible presence was there. The pillar of cloud was to lead them and guide them and be his manifest presence by day, by fire, by night. This gave a visible indicator of God's presence. And I know some of you might say, man, I'd love for God to like show up in a physical manifest presence like that so I could see him. Oh, really? I got good news for you. He does. You're like, yo, I haven't seen that. Tell me, how do I see that? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you this. See, Jesus, right before he ascended, he had a conversation with the disciples and he told them about how God's presence would dwell among them and what it would look like. He said this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, "In the last days, God says that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs of the earth below. Watch this. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit falls, and Peter prophesies. Peter shares this prophecy of what we will actually see, that the Holy Spirit will pour out his spirit in the last days on sons and daughters. There'll be dreams, there'll be visions, there'll be this idea of billows of smoke and fire. There'll actually be signs for you to see. This is what Peter is telling us, and he's quoting an Old Testament prophet named Joel. Now, one of the things I love to teach our church is the way that we learn how to interpret scripture. One of the best ways to interpret the scripture is especially New Testament scripture. We can use the Old Testament to help us interpret it. What does this mean? Because there are over 300 direct references or quotes in the New Testament back to the Old Testament, and this is one. And so the best way to understand what's being told to be interpreted is to go back and look. So when I go back and I look at what Joel said, there's this thing that he's trying to tell us. And so right after this quote that Peter's preaching, there's this quote from Joel. A little bit right before that, here's what Joel says. He says this in chapter 2. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. So I want you to see how all of this ties together. Jesus said that for him to leave was a good thing because God would send the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fell, Peter preaches, and he's preaching about this right here. And what he's saying is that in the heart of every believer, when you receive Jesus, you actually receive the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. So here's the good news. Where's God's presence? How do I find it? How do I see it? How do I know it? Look at yourself, you and the work within you. For those of you that are believers, the Holy Spirit of God is alive and active in you. You are a pillar of cloud. You are a pillar of fire. And Jesus said that you will be a witness wherever you go. So how do I know? How do I see God? Well, God's gonna work in and through you. His presence abides in you. Friends, I got crazy news for you. You ain't gotta go to heaven to experience God. For those of you that are believers, watch this. We look all the time, oh, I can't wait to go to heaven. I can't wait to go to be with Jesus. Homie, Jesus is already in you. You ain't got to go to heaven to experience his presence. You just got to open your eyes and your heart to know that the Spirit of God is moving and working within you. And so isn't it an interesting thing for you and I as believers to have the Spirit of God, not just close to us, but actually in us, and then yet we still feel so far away? How's that possible? How's that possible? And that's because we do not have our eyes and our ears and our heart attuned to the Spirit who lives within us. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. There's power in that. There's presence in that. And yet we get so busy. Listen, husbands, wives, how often do we get so busy that we even miss out on our marriage? Well, how can I have God within me and miss him? The same way you and your wife live together and still feel apart. There's no communion, there's no conversation, there's no dialogue, there's no intimacy. God wants more than anything for you to sit at his feet, to rest in him, to trust in him, to believe in him, to walk with him, to abide in him. And friend, you ain't got to go to the promised land to find it. If you're a believer in Jesus, it's already in you. And today, if you're under the sound of my voice and you've never put your trust in Jesus, and yet you desire to experience God and to see him and to be in his presence, and the Holy Spirit of God's been drawing you, and today you know that you're away from him and you're in sin and there's something that separates you, I can tell you right now that his Bible is really clear. His word is very clear. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, not only will you be saved, but then you will have the Spirit of God living within you and his presence will dwell with you wherever you go. And then it's just our job to be attentive, to listen. So here's what I wanna do. We're gonna sing and we're gonna respond to the hearing of God's word and to this call for you and I to be in his presence, to experience the fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore that belongs in his presence, to experience the peace and the comfort that only comes from the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to have Jesus revealed to us, which is, by the way, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus to us, to see him in the word and to see him at move in the world. And so over the next few moments, I just wanna let you know, we're gonna create a space for you to do that, to abide, to rest, to be in his presence. And for you, whatever that needs to look like over these next few moments, this room is available for you. The altar will be open if you just need to come and to pray. Man, if you need to go lay on the floor, there's some little hallways, there's some, like you go lay prostrate, you go put your face to the ground, you go seek God. If you need to get on your knees, if you need to just stay in your seat, if you need to stand with your hands up, whatever it looks like for you to respond and to sense and to experience God and to rest in his presence and to give him glory, and to allow him to fill your soul today. I want you to know, you have freedom to do that. Whatever that looks like for you in the way of worship, the way of seeking God, this room is open for you to do that. Our team has prepared a few songs that I think will help lead you to that place. But more than anything today, this is what we wanted to lean on. God, please don't send me there without your presence. I don't want to go. I don't want the presence of the earth. I don't want the blessing of the life without the presence of God around it. To have a hunger. And listen, if that hunger doesn't exist in you, that's the first place to start, to ask God to stir in your soul a hunger for him and his presence. And I pray he'll move on us today. Would you stand to your feet? I'm gonna pray and we're gonna sing in church. This is a chance for us to respond to what God wants to do. Let me just say this. As a church, this is important. I want you to hear this from your pastor. Man, as a leadership team, we know that God is calling us to step into creating space for us collectively and you individually to encounter God. This was custom crafted by God Almighty in our hearts to lead you to today. And I don't want anything to come between you and God. I don't want you to worry about what somebody else might think or see or whatever. You need to respond to whatever God wants to do in your heart today. I don't care what that is. One of our values at Home Church is that we worship like Jesus is in the room. Close your eyes. I want you to take a moment and think about what worship has looked like in your life. Now I want you to consider the reality that the creator of the universe just walked right through the door. And not only is he standing beside you, but for those of you that are believers, he is moving within you. I wonder if you really understood that concept, how differently you would worship. Father, over these next few moments, I pray that you would move amongst us. God, I pray for sons and daughters who have hard hearts, that they would be softened. God, I pray for anyone who might be away from you, God, that you would draw them through a Holy Spirit loving conviction to repentance. God, I pray over the next few moments that anyone who hasn't sensed your presence, they've been so busy with life and circumstances and jobs and school and kids and all the things that distract us, God, that over these next few moments that nothing would distract them, that they would find a way to hone in on you and focus in on you and worship you and sit at your feet. God, I believe that you're gonna pour out your spirit on this house. I believe that we're gonna dream dreams and we're gonna see visions and we're gonna see manifestation of your spirit in this house. God, we will see you physically move. I believe that, God. So Spirit, you don't need my invitation, but know this, this is your house. Take residence up in it. Have your way amongst us. God, may we relent our hearts to you. And may you love us and bless us and pour your spirit out. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.